And I'm no prophet, and prophets are sometimes asked by God to do strange things. And I believe some of you have that gift. So can you imagine smelling this smelly thing that comes, and when they look at him, he's a strange looking sight. But this was a demonstration, a sash. And the Lord here obviously says in verse 11, that as the sash clings to the waist, so I will cause the people to cling to me, but they do not want to cling to me. In the end, they're all ruined because they didn't cling to me. That's what the Lord was saying here. And what we have here, the word cling comes in very strong. A sash is to cling, to hold fast to. The first point of a covenant is what I call yieldedness. Yieldedness. To cling to the Lord is to yield entirely to Him. When you make a covenant with the Lord, you have to surrender and yield 100%. Then will the covenant work. The covenant will not work if there is no surrenderedness or yieldedness. When Abraham started the walk with God, do you know God required 100%? First, he has to leave all his kinsfolk and go to a place which he did not know where. He was just following that voice of God he heard. And as he left all to follow the Lord waited until Lot left him. Then he was completely separated. Then God began to reveal to him about the covenant that he has. And from time to time you notice that God tested whether he really yielded 100%. In the book of Genesis it tells us that when God has given him that promise, God tested his heart to see whether he yielded 100%. Because Isaac was his love, the only son. And God wanted to see whether Abraham is still yielded to him. Part of a covenant relationship is yieldedness or being surrendered to God. That's what the sash is. It clings. Then the second sign that Jeremiah saw is in chapter 18. It's all found in this first portion in chapter 18. In verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something in the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." And then chapter 19 continues the same kind of picture, where the Lord asked him to take a pot. And as he went in front of the elders of the house of Israel, he prophesied and said, "Just as the Lord breaks the pot, the Lord will break you." And Jeremiah in front of them broke the pot. The second sign or second picture of a covenant is given here. First, yieldedness or surrenderedness. Second is brokenness. Brokenness. Now, yieldedness is different from brokenness. Yieldedness is to give our all. Brokenness is to have something removed from us. As a potter makes the clay, so where there's some parts that of the clay that are not what the potter wants, it has to be broken off, remolded. So there is a breaking process. God talks about a breaking process. And he says, "Israel, why don't you allow me to break you and mold you the way I want you to?" God requires a brokenness, which is why as Abraham move into the covenant of God, God brought him step by step deeper and deeper. From yieldedness, God brings him into brokenness. You notice here in the book of Genesis, the first occurrence of a covenant relationship begins in Genesis chapter 15 between God and Abraham. And that talks about total yieldedness, because when Abraham offered a sacrifice, he knows what it means. Genesis 15, in verse 6, the Lord said to Abraham, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Now, how did Abraham know all these details? The Lord must have spoken to him, and he must have been fully instructed that that day the Lord was going to cut a covenant with Abraham. That day, God was going to teach Abraham that in a covenant relationship, it's equal. And usually in the Old Testament, when they cut a covenant, they will cut a piece of animal right into two. And then the two persons who make a covenant will walk right in the middle of that animal together. After that, 100% of what belongs to A belongs to B. 100% of what belongs to B belongs to A. There is 100% exchange. You cannot call what is yours, yours alone. It belongs now to the other person who cuts a covenant with you. And in the missionary history of David Livingstone, the missionary to Africa, it is told how he cut many covenants with all the different tribes where he went to preach the gospel. And one of those covenants was in one of those instances, I remember, David Livingstone, he had a little goat with him which provided the milk and the nutrition he needed. It was his most precious possession. Then when one of the chief of a tribe came, and he cut a covenant with the chief, part of the exchange was something that the most precious to each of them. So the chief said, "I will give you my spear to carry." Then the chief said, "You give me your goat." And that meant everything to David Livingstone. But when he cut a covenant and exchanged it, the historical records goes that when he took that spear, wherever he went, when they saw that spear, they know that whatever they did to him, the owner of that spear and the entire tribe will come after them. So they respected him because of that spear he carried. I don't know what the chief did with the little goat. Not recorded in the history. Whether he barbecued it and ate it, no. But he got that spear. There was an exchange. And a lot of those tribes respected that chief, and therefore they respected David Livingstone. He became a representative of the chief. He was one with the chief. That's the first thing that Abraham did when he cut a covenant with God. Everything, in other words, everything that was Abraham, God could ask for it at any time on call. At the same time, everything that belonged to God, Abraham could ask from God. That is Genesis 15. Yieldedness. Then later God bring him to a deeper level. You notice Genesis 15 already talk about covenant that he has made with Abraham in chapter 15. Genesis 15. God spoke with him. In verse 18 it says, "On the same day, the Lord made a covenant." Notice, a covenant was already made. But do you know there are progressions in a covenant? See, there are progressions in a revelation and the understanding of a covenant. It's just like sometimes you are given a wheel, but you don't know what that wheel implies and doesn't know all that it covers. You don't tap on it, although it's yours all the time. So there's this covenant that was made. It was already made in verse 18. Why then again do you notice in chapter 17 there is further mention of the covenant of Genesis? In verse 1 and 2, Abraham was 99 years old and the Lord appeared to him saying, I'm Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you. Same covenant, but now a deeper relationship. The first yieldedness, now second needs brokenness. And what God did in Genesis 17 was God was saying that, Abraham, now your manhood must be circumcised. And God has to take, ask Abraham to cut a piece of his flesh, and all those of his male servants and male children, a piece of their flesh had to be cut off. That cutting off, that removal, that pruning represents brokenness. Brokenness must come. That is the second sign, the potter and the clay. The third sign of and development of the covenant is in Jeremiah 24. You begin to see the progressions of this covenant. 24. The Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. We're in Jeremiah 24, verse 1. See, the first entire section all talks about covenant. We are only pulling a few here and there, the major portions. But this is just to give you a clue how to handle the first section of Jeremiah. And it says, talks about all these kings. Then in verse 2, one basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe. The other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. The Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I say, fix. The good fix, very good. The bad, very bad. Which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. So the Lord talked about the good fix and the bad fix. And He talks about those who remain in His covenant and they will have the blessing. Those who are outside His covenant, they will get the judgment. He talks about those who continue to seek Him and walk after His covenant. They will be shielded, they will be protected. Through war, through famine, through everything, they will be shielded and protected. Marvelous. We were never expected that in war, in a fighting between the Babylonians and the Israelites, that we thought that the protection of life is by chance. No. The protection of life is by the covenant. If you have a covenant relationship with God, and God so determined that you live, you live. No matter what, there is the grace of God. That's the third thing here in the covenant relationship that we see here is fruitfulness. A covenant will produce fruitfulness. And that was evidence in Abraham's life. You can see that immediately after the brokenness in Genesis chapter 17 was Genesis 18. Genesis 18, the Lord appeared again in verse 1 under the terebinth tree of Mamre.